I want you to imagine something with me this morning. It's a bit of a scenario. It's of the future, and for whatever reason, you're no longer around. And there's someone who's very special to you who are going through a hard time. And it's one of those times where they wonder about the meaning and the purpose of life. They wonder if they can get rid of the pain that's going on inside of them. And they wonder if, in fact, it's worth keeping on going with life. Because they're close to the end. The world has come crashing down. Their whatever reason, relationships or stress or work or all those sorts of things. And then late one Saturday night, they think of you. And they think of your faith. And they wonder if there was anything in that faith. They wonder if it could work for them. And they wonder, would it be real for them if they embrace it as well? And then they realize, they remember that a church that you went to was really important to you. And they recall the times you talked about and you invited them to church. And they remember you attending and how much it meant to you. And in a flash of clarity, they remember that strange name, that name of that church, which was Seeds. And they go to bed that Saturday night thinking, I'm going to turn up there in the morning. And the next morning, Sunday morning, they wake up, but their heart has a glimmer of hope inside it. Wondering what they're going to experience, they travel down to Sunnymead Drive, they park at the front, and then summoning up the courage, they take a deep breath and they walk into the doors of this building. They walk in and come in. And I wonder what they will find. I wonder what welcome they'll receive. I wonder what culture they experience. I wonder what it'll be like. I wonder if they are loved and embraced. I wonder if they find hope. I call these people somebody's someone. And it seems to me that we need to prepare for somebody's someone today. In fact, that day is actually here for those who've gone before us. Today is that day, and there will be people here who are asking those exact questions, wondering those same things. Somebody's someone is present. Let me pray. Lord, remove our past biases, we ask. Startle us with the clarity of vision for what you would have us do in your world. Enable us to see beyond ourselves and to see what you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. So today is the final in our Church 2020 trilogy that I've been preaching, and I'm conscious that even though we've set aside 30 minutes in the service for me to preach, I have extended that just a smidgen. It's because largely I'm getting excited as to what God is doing amongst us, and I'm going away from my notes, which is never a good thing, and I'm excited by what God is saying to us in the future, and I hope that you are too. The first week I pushed in hard into our reason for us being church. And I questioned the scope of our ministry on a grand scale. What are we really about? I was asking. Is there more than what we see at this moment? And I said that we are a people, plural, whom God uses to bless the world and let the world know that he exists. In the second week, I questioned the scope of our individual ministries. And I challenged everyone to listen and to respond what the Spirit had been whispering to them. And I implored everybody to move into their giftings and to fulfill their life's calling. The church is people, I've been saying, not a building. Through all this, I've been challenging all of us, all the members of our church to let go of a limited understanding of church that only includes an hour and a bit on a Sunday or a Friday night, and let go of the past and rethink what the future could be like. I liken our church to what took place at the Battle of Waterloo, where Napoleon sent his men forward in large columns, thus allowing only the first few, the front rank, to actually be effective with their weapons, whereas the victor, Wellington, deployed his men in lines, enabling every man to fire. And I keep saying, and you will hear me keep saying, we need to be not a church in column, but a church in line. I hope that many of you will understand the illustration, for while we are meant to be together as a church, none of us are meant to be hidden in a mass. We're not passengers. All of us have a role to play. And if you are still breathing, and I think looking around, you are all still breathing, God has a ministry for all of us. Just as an aside, on the front counter in the foyer out there, we've placed quite a few copies of a resource we developed some years ago called Shape to Serve. And it's simply a workbook on how you discover and develop your spiritual gifts. So I encourage you to grab a copy. Back to the topic. I've labored the point that there are many things outside our four walls of this building for us to do. Each one of us is uniquely placed and shaped to serve the world we find ourselves currently in. For some of us, this is our workplaces. For some of us, this is our unis. Others, it's our retirement villages. There's a whole host of things. For some of us, it's our family or recreation times or even the clubs that we find ourselves a part of. I think and I believe and I know that God uses our passions to serve Him as well and to connect others with God. I know for me that I've had many opportunities to be a living witness to the grace of God in my life. Many times, sitting on the side of a mountain, even with rain coming down, I've been able to talk about the glory of God and the deeper things of life. It's remarkable, isn't it? When you're doing life with people, how life opens up. Today, I want to return to the topic of church as a gathered community. I want to talk about the times we come together, which is like now, which is like what happens at teenagers, which is like what happens at excess on a Friday night. I want to talk about not just the importance of it, but what it means for all of us to be involved in this. The gathered church, like what we have at this moment, like what we are at this moment, is a very curious thing, and it has bent and troubled and it's been enjoyed in my mind for years, and I'm sure it still will. One of the things that we should not forget is the way that we do church now does and needs to continue change for the times, to meet the times. Let me be clear, the gospel never changes. But the way in which we communicate it today is always adapting. Who would have thought 20 years ago that there would be cafes in church buildings? Who would have thought? No one would have ever thought that. Who would have thought 20 years ago coffee would have been so important in people's lives? Man, International Roast, the stocks must have been making a great dive. When I started ministry roughly 25 years ago, things were vastly different. 25 years ago, we still had people rostered on to move the overhead projector slide so that you could read the words on the screen, on the portable screen, and we could put away hymn books. Who remembers hymn books? Don't put your hand up. Back then, there was no announcements to turn off your phones because all your phones virtually were at home, still wired to the wall. No one knew about social media, and TikTok was what a clock did. It did not make you laugh. This side laughs and this side doesn't get it. What's going on here? Why am I talking about this? Why am I mentioning this? Why am I laboring this? Because trends come and go, and churches like ours try different things out. Largely, we do so to engage with the culture and communicate the good news of Jesus. If we don't, We end up speaking a language that many people don't understand and a form of church that is far out, sidelined so far. The culture doesn't get it. We will be irrelevant. The issue is not that we will be irrelevant, but that we will be unable to communicate the message, the beautiful message of the gospel to people who need to hear it. The life-saving, grace-dripping message that even though you are an outsider, you can be brought into the family. That even though you don't deserve it, you can be included. It's a message for somebody's someone. I need you to know this morning, and I'm being honest, there's a few spits that I'm being honest, that I drive many things that you see around us. I don't say that to take credit for the things that work, but to let you know that my involvement is behind many things. I am the one who drives excellence, which sometimes is interpreted as performance. I'm the one driving good systems, which sometimes is interpreted as being corporate. I'm the one driving innovation, which is sometimes interpreted as needless change. I believe God has gifted me with foresight, so I'm constantly and repeatedly positioning us to face the future. Sometimes these are just slight adjustments, sometimes much more. The adjustments are to ensure that our message is relevant. So I ask this of you this morning. Will you trust me? Now, I have a caveat because I freely admit that I'm very human and I make a lot of mistakes. There are certainly parts of my life that are in desperate need of God's redeeming touch and his ongoing grace. I will not be perfect until I stand face to face in front of Jesus. I am very ordinary. If you don't believe me, ask my kids. They'll be happy to tell you otherwise. Yet for some strange reason, known only to God, God has put me here as your senior pastor for this time. And what's more, has brought us all together to be church. I know that some of you could have never imagined yourself in a uniting church or this church or could have imagined yourself in this country. Yet here we are and we are all responding to the sovereign call that God has on our lives. And I am asking you at this moment to lean in. I'm asking you, don't take a step backwards, but take a walk of faith and move forward. God is doing something amongst us, and I know some of you perceive it. God is active here, and I know some of you see it. God is asking us for obedience, for his will to be obedient, for his will to this church at this particular time. God is positioning us, let's be really clear, God is positioning us for somebody's someone. In this season of our church's life, there are some things that we all must do. And so this morning, I'm calling you to take far more seriously than ever before in your life the role of prayer. The role of prayer in your personal life, the role of prayer in your families, your small group, and our corporate life together. I have to say, I was greatly encouraged to see the numbers that came out when we stopped the evening service on the first Sunday in January and prayed for the bushfire. Some of you were here for that. If you're still praying for rain, it might be a good time to stop for the East Coast. I just put it out there. Maybe there are other things we could pray for, okay? But over the last few years, we have been putting heat under the value of prayer, and some of our church has responded. It is time that this was greeted with far more general acceptance. We need to be a church of prayer. We need to be covering our church and our activities in much more prayer. I say this because the elders and the staff and I are leading our church into a place where we will take new ground, where we are in fact taking new ground. For those who are discerning and who understand these sorts of things, this is often a battleground in the spiritual realm. We must never underestimate this. There are forces that are arrayed against us, forces that will seek to push us down and our ministry down, forces that will seek to disrupt our eldership, our staff, and take us, myself included, out of the fight. We need to be praying. So here's my challenge to you in this. It's got legs, okay? On March the 23rd, we will again do our 21 days of prayer. It's here at 6 a.m. There is something powerful about us doing this, something unifying when we come together just to address our great God. There is something holy about when we do this. So I challenge you, here it is. I challenge you to make an effort to be here at the 21 days of prayer at least once per week. It's 3 weeks. That means coming 3 different mornings. I know that not everyone can. There were commitments, health challenges, all sorts of things like that. So if you are unable to come physically to the building, will you set aside an hour a week just to pray? I'll be keen to know. Please let us know, because I want to keep records this year as to how much prayer we have in that period. But I do know this. Some of us don't come at 6 a.m. because we are undisciplined. Some of us don't come because we are unmotivated. And let me be really honest, okay? Are you ready for it? Some of us don't come because, in fact, we are lazy. We often, every now and again, we hit 1,000 people over the weekend in different services, what we run here at Seeds. And often, when we run 21 days of prayer, we get between 10 and 30 people. I wonder what it says about us. Maybe this is your year to make it a habit in your life. So let me talk about what we do when we come together as a church. Throughout the history of God speaking with his people, that is the Bible, you can discern many things. One of those is the encouragement of God for his people to meet together. What I can see from the Bible is that it's important for God, for those who love and serve God, to meet regularly together. In the history of Israel, there was the Sabbath times, but also festivals and feasts that the nation celebrated. And if you read the Old Testament, you can see them referred to quite a few times. We come over into the New Testament, we see this pattern continued. And we see Jesus doing it. And then we see the disciples emulating what Jesus did. And they took it as their habit. They met together on the first day of the week. And so Christians have been doing the same thing over and over again. On many levels, there are distinct advantages for us to continue with this routine. Let me name a couple. It causes us to think about more than just our day-to-day life. It lifts our eyes, doesn't it? Takes us to a higher plane. It puts a marker, a stop point in our week so that we just not Groundhog Day over and over and over again. It helps us reevaluate what is really important in our life. It helps us stop and take a breath. When we sing, we fill our lungs with air and we improve our blood circulation. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up, but I reckon it sounds good. Honestly, we find companionship and acceptance and by people who we would not normally relate with. And then funny enough, we find strong and firm friendships that can last a lifetime. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, we find a direct reference to us meeting together. There are many references in the New Testament. Here is just but one. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. Love that last bit of that verse there. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I'd love to spend the rest of our time unpacking that, but I haven't got time because I want you to notice verse 24 and 25. Let us consider, what should we consider? How we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Why? Well, how do we do this? By not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And how do we do this? We encourage one another. And we're asked to do that by meeting together. And your presence, your actual physical presence brings encouragement to those around us. And it spurs us on to love and to do good deeds around us. Now, I know that when this was written way before you could just flip out your phone, write a text to someone, way before you could tell Siri to dial someone in your contacts and have a conversation with them. But there is something special, something intimate, something relational about being together face to face. Agree? That's three people. Agree? Thank you. I don't reckon, here we go, more truth from me. I don't reckon songs of praise, Hillsong Channel, or Billy Graham's Homecoming DVD, as good as they are, will ever take the place of us being together. They won't. Christianity is not a solo endeavor. The Bible's wisdom is timeless. It is telling us, and it knew what was coming. The Spirit of God knew what was coming when it inspired the Scriptures, knew what was coming, what is needed for your edification, is telling you, telling us what we need for our growth. It is telling us what we need for our encouragement. There is many significant importances of us meeting together, not just because it's organized and it's good, but because there is a spiritual energy that comes from us being together. You can feel it. I know I can feel it. At certain times there's something that happens and I'm like, I am so glad that I was here today. And sometimes I'm like, I am so glad I get to do this two more times today. It's fantastic. I never say I'm so unhappy that I've got to do this again. I believe in the local church. I believe that it enriches us. It brings to us a relational aspect, an emotional aspect, a spiritual aspect. So this week I'm thinking about what I'm preaching and I couldn't find anything on the net to steal. No, only joking. There was one word that came into my heart, and I don't say this very often because it doesn't happen to me very often, and I wrote it down on several different books that I'm working with, and the word was ordinary. And I'm hearing that word bounce around in my heart and in my head, and I'm thinking, I don't like that word. I don't want to be ordinary. And I want to preach anything but ordinary today, let me tell you. Third one in this series that I've beat up, I want to preach enormous or tremendous or phenomenal. That's what I wanted to preach today. I didn't want to be ordinary. I want this moment to be watershed, a line in the sand. I wanted this to be a fierce resolve for us for a new direction. And then I thought about it for a while. I had a drive on Thursday and Friday, and I thought about it. I thought, maybe, just maybe, that's more about me than what God wants. And maybe it's about more about my need to be a success and to be seen as a success than for God's will for my life, for our lives. I'm just being really honest with you this morning. Because the ordinary has no glamour. It has no pizzazz. There's no glory attached to ordinary. But when I think about it in its fullness, it indicates faithfulness and reliability and stickability. And then I look at it and I think, well, this is more about discipleship than what I gave it credit for. And maybe that's why we struggle with discipleship, because it entails following Jesus in the ordinary. You and I know that when we do ordinary things like going for a walk on a regular basis, It's far better for us than trying to run a marathon once per year. True? We all know that saving small amounts is much better than trying to land that one big deal or become an instant millionaire. In the Christian life, ordinary is where it's at. One of the things I've noticed is the change in attitude that has crept into who we are as a gathered church. In the last few years, fewer and fewer people amongst us are interested in the ordinary. Yet when we do a big event and when there's some zing to it, everyone comes out. And when we ask for help in those bigger events, there's lots forthcoming. And I honour our church for that. Thank you so much. Our church is a unique church. I've never before been involved in a church like ours. It has nuances that are intricate, sometimes difficult. It has lots of people, that is for sure, but it struggles to meet ordinary needs. We get lots of offers, which when there's something big, which is fantastic, but not many put their hands up to wash dishes. Serve free coffee, be on the welcome team, do car park at excess, help with the grunt work around the place. Things like organising fundraising. Yet today is the day when someone turns up wondering if there's anything in that faith, wondering if there's anything in that faith they saw in that past member here. My friends, in church life, ordinary is what gets things done. Ordinary is prepared to meet new people, to move chairs, to help people out of their cars, to clean up. Ordinary makes sure there is no barriers to people hearing the gospel. Ordinary enables God to speak. On the first Sunday of this month, just a few weeks ago, when we were all enjoying the barbecue and we were all excitedly talking amongst ourselves and enjoying the Whose Kitchen Rules final sort of feast that we were having together, I witnessed several new to us families quietly standing by themselves and nobody talked to them. I wonder if an ordinary hello would have made a big difference. They were someone who walked in our doors. My friends, I'm not telling you off. I'm not mad at you, not in the slightest. I'm telling you the truth and I'm encouraging you to embrace the ordinary that God asks you to do. The view is great from the mountaintops. Everybody knows that. But somehow we seem to despise that in the valleys, that's where all the fruit is growing. Last week I challenged you to listen to the Spirit, to what was being whispered in your ear wherever you go. Today I'm challenging you to give your ordinary service in the life of this church community. I'm asking you to step up and make this place the best that it can be so that we can serve each other. But not only that, it's not about us. Let me be really, really clear. But also so that we're ready to receive someone. I was browsing online this week. Some of you might have seen it, and I found this quite stunning thought. And the writer commented, "Sometimes I joke about what I would do if I had just one day left. You know, one day left to live. Eat junk, go crazy, do all sorts of stupid things." And then the writer comments, "But today it hit me. Jesus knew he had one day left, and what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet." Again and again and again, Jesus tells us what really matters. Jesus shows us that service is where it's at, and he did it repeatedly. In fact, the cross is the symbol of him serving the whole of humanity. Our chance comes when we respond to what God is doing amongst us here. The highest value that we should have and hold to is service. And I ask this morning your forgiveness if you have heard anything else but that from me. Serving is where it's at. And we have the wrong idea if we think that following Jesus is anything but serving. As I get towards the end of my sermon and the end of this series, there are two significant things that I want to bring before you this morning. I want to get really practical how you can affect change in this community in order for us to be ready for somebody, someone. How you can contribute and how you can augment this church to be what God wants it to be. There are many financial needs that we have in this church. And my guess is that we are under-resourced in staffing, probably about 30%. But I just want to bring you a critical need in Excess. For those of you who don't know, Excess is our high school ministry. It is a ministry that is growing in numbers and in faith. Do you notice that most of our baptisms come from Excess? In line with a change of year sevens in South Australian high schools, Excess has now opened the doors every year to open the doors to year sevens to attend. So this has added an extra load on the leadership of Excess. So Excess now cares for over 200 high schoolers every Friday night in the school terms. And when on an open night, I encourage you to come and see what it looks like. Our structure is that we have a next gen pastor over this ministry and young adult ministry. And under that, we have what we call as an Excess coordinator. Currently, our Excess coordinator is way overstretched. We have understaffed. And the person that we have in this role is graciously giving us far more than what we could ever pay them for. The work and the need and the opportunities are huge. But as a church council, we can't find any more money to resources to deploy into this ministry. So here's what I'm asking this morning. Without decreasing your regular giving, would there be some people here who would forego a small part of their income per month in order for us to employ an Excess coordinator at least one more day per week? What I'm asking for and what I'm looking for is what I'm calling an above and beyond offering from 30 people or 30 families for $35 a month for 2 years. There's no other way we can figure out how to make this happen. So we've decided to ask you, our church, if this is something that you feel that you want to support. An above and beyond offering over the top of your normal giving. If you take from your normal giving, what it means is we've got problems in other areas. And so in the foyer today, there are cards that will detail how you can do this. And just to be clear, that was 30 people, $35 a month for 2 years. I'm not going to labour this. I don't intend to go over it again. If you feel it's something you can support, I would ask you to act quickly and we'll cut our cloth accordingly. The second thing that I want to put before you today is the way in which we as a church are able to put on ordinary, everyday, our weekly schedule. This church, remarkably, is critically short of people willing to serve. We need to be able to serve somebody's someone so that when they come, they can experience, feel, and know tangibly the love of Jesus. Being part of a team here at Seeds, you make the way for someone to know about Jesus. Every time we do a baptism, and for me, if you haven't picked it up already, baptisms are high points. Someone has decided to follow Jesus and publicly come out the front and get wet in direct response to the commandment of Jesus. Every time we do a baptism, it is the culmination of all those who serves work. In the foyer, if you haven't already seen it, there is a sheet of A5 paper with heaps of needs on it. This church needs you to step out of the column and into the line. This church needs you to be part of a welcome team to have a smiling face when somebody, someone comes through the door. This church needs you to be part of the production team so the gospel can be communicated and there are no barriers. This church needs all its members to be a part of the team. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you sign up in one particular area, even if it doesn't gel with you, even if you think you're not going to like it, will you serve up for 1 year and give your service? Will you follow the lead of Jesus? Put yourself to the side for a bit so that somebody, someone can feel mattered and cared for. Last week I spoke to the men, which I thought was brave. It gets worse. Today I'm speaking to the women. And so I want to ask you, women, will you bring that beautiful God place, caring and nurturing nature that you have, that God has put inside of you, into the life of this church? Will you show us all, that would be us men, how to love and accept in the way in which only you can? Will you get involved more and help us not become a corporate machine, but a church that has a tangible soul? Will you get involved and be a part of a team? Will you step up and will you lead a team? I know some of you are hanging back as if there's some projection that it's a man's place to lead. In this church, there is room for you to lead. I believe that passage in Acts on the day of Pentecost, when it says, I will pour out my spirit on all. Do you know who I believe all refers to? All. Will you show us how to love somebody, someone like Jesus would? My friends, if we doubled all our teams, it actually would be really effective. But beyond that, it would be so much fun. There will be so much joy. It's satisfying, deeply satisfying to see what God is doing. It is rewarding to get a front row seat of the behind scenes, what God is up to, and you being a part of it means so much, and it brings so much to you as God moves. My friends, over the last 3 weeks, I've given you a lot to think about. I've given you some challenges and some solid actions, and I hope deep down somewhere I have stirred in you, that I've inspired you, that I've disturbed you out of your apathy and comfort and into the path that God is calling you, out of the column into the line. For you know what we are about as a church. You know what we are about. We are about bringing people to Jesus and being transformed into his passionate disciples. Let me lead you in prayer. We don't always understand the church, Lord. It seems this strange anomaly that you've created, yet in it, you dispense grace. You show us your beauty. You touch all of us. You meet our needs where we're at. And you continue to meet constant needs for people who keep walking in these doors. May we have more of a heart for somebody, someone, than what we do now. May we be open to actually serving somebody, someone. Give us a love for your church, Lord. Give us a love for what your church is doing. Call us into a new vision of what you're doing amongst us. In your name we pray. Amen.